hand, walk with us, see not over our circumstances.
Spirit, break out.
Can you hear me? Oh. Thank you. Change, what be? word. Thank you so much for the cross, God. Thank you for what you did that day. It's lasted forever, God. The greatest candle ever. Thank you so much for everything you did, God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for dying for us, Lord. When we didn't deserve it, we never will. You're so worthy, God. We love you so much. Thank you for this time, God. Increase in our lives. Be with us wherever we are. The cry of our heart, God. We love you so much. Welcome to Hope Living Church, everybody. I want to greet people next to you. Say hello to somebody. Alright, welcome. My name is Kingsley. Let's give a round of applause for the worship team. Thanks for meeting us, guys. Thank you. A couple of announcements before Pastor Mike comes up. Reach the Beach is an event that's happening on April 17th and 19th at 7 p.m. in Los Osos at the middle school there. A famous evangelist, Josh McDowell, will be there. He's a pretty big name. He's written countless Christian books and different things. I'm reading a book right now by him, and it's pretty amazing. His attention to detail is awesome. He's a really powerful speaker, so he'll be speaking there. Again, that's April 17th and 19th, 7 p.m. in Los Osos Middle School. Some of us will be there, so please come on out. We'll see you there. This next Wednesday is our first door hanger party. We're going to be getting the word out about Hope Living Church. We got some announcements that we're going to be hanging on the doors of people's houses here in Cayuga. So if you have the time, if you're available to make it, our first one is this Wednesday. At 4 p.m., we're going to be right out front here. So if any of you guys can make that, we really appreciate your help. It's going to be a great time. We're going to scour Cayucas with Hope Living Church announcements all over doors. So please come out 4 p.m. this Wednesday. And if you can't make that one, there's another one on the 16th of this month. It's another Wednesday. We'll do that one at 4 p.m. as well. Our Easter service is coming up. It'll be Easter Sunday at 6 p.m. We'll be right here. And then afterwards, we'll go down to the beach, we'll walk down or drive down to the north parking lot here, and we're going to have a social bonfire down there. So it's going to be a great time. We're going to hang out, take your guitar, hang out after service. So yeah, tell a friend or family about our Easter service that's coming up, and get the word out there, and it's going to be great. So be praying for it, and can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Pastor Mike.
Thanks, Kingsley. All right, wasn't that amazing? I just feel glowing in the praise and worship that we were able to participate in. I just thank the Lord for that. The hope for us is more than just a name; it's what we want to be. We want to represent hope, God's hope, to the Central Coast, to Cayucas and beyond. So we're just asking, that you just get the word out. Help us spread the word. We're going to be meeting, as Kingsley said, Easter Sunday, but we're going to be meeting in the gym. And I'm believing we can fill that thing, or at least come really close. So let's really put the word out. Let's invite friends. We've got the door hangers. I just want to pray. Just reach your hand over there. The door hangers are over there in a box. That God would just use those to help get his word out. That not only just the activity of putting the door hangers out, but the fellowship that will come from the people we meet while we do that, and the activity of just being together, serving God together, and getting the word out about this. This is about him, right? This Hope Living Church. Amen. And just praise the Lord for what he's doing here. I think we can all agree that there's something really unique and special that God's doing here. And we just want to see everyone blessed. We want to see the whole town of Cayucas and beyond just receive what God has through this ministry. So thank you for participating. Thank you for being here tonight and joining us in this evening of worship and praise, and also some time in the Word. Tonight's topic, we're continuing in that Faith, Hope, and Love series, and I just wanted to remind that we're in the middle, so we're in hope. This will be the second session on hope, and our theme verse, our key verse, has been basically 1 Corinthians 13, and that's, we'll go ahead and bring that one up again, just to remind. But now faith, hope, and love remain. These three virtues must characterize our lives. The greatest of these is love. And we've been asking ourselves, am I doing this? Am I reflecting these things? And we also discovered last week, we read a definition of hope, which I guess we can bring that up next too, right there. That's great. That actually, hope is one of the few things like faith and love that can actually define the faith. That actually can, you can define pretty much all of Christianity just in that one word. And so let's go ahead and read that, or I'll read it, but you can follow along. Hope is an essential and fundamental element, it's the underlying part, fundamental element of the Christian life, so essential indeed that like faith and love, it can itself designate the essence of Christianity. So I was praying this week really hard about the message, and I was really stumped. I was like just blank for a while. I just was having a really hard time and just really, really trying to listen to what the Lord was saying. And then finally I got some breakthrough. And it was almost funny how the Lord kind of put it into my head, how he wanted me to convey this thought. So bear with me. It may sound a little weird the way I'm going to put it this way, but just kind of bear with me. And we're going to talk about a disease called hope. Weird, huh? That's a good thing, right? Well, it's a dis-ease in that you know, it takes us out of our comfort zone. Hope is going to take us beyond ourselves. And that makes us a little uncomfortable sometimes. Sometimes it's uncomfortable sharing your faith or testifying about what God's doing in your life. And so I just got a funny picture. What would it be like if hope was like a disease? And I started playing with that idea, and I thought it was kind of funny. So I was having fun with it. But I'm thinking that for the believer, hope should be a highly contagious disease. It should be something that everybody around us gets infected by, right? Should we be able to infect others around us with hope? Because hope is something that just, it isn't something that you contain under yourself. You can't. Hope is something that has to spill out. And that's, the next slide is one of the key verses for hope in all of the New Testament. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. If it sounds kind of familiar, it's a verse that I've been pronouncing a blessing over us with in that benediction each week. But again, you know, there's that overflowing component of hope that when we are experiencing God and we are like tonight, just so sitting in God's presence and getting filled up, that it just can't help but spill out. And when it does that, that's when we can reach others, we can bless others, and touch others, and infect others with that same hope that we're walking in. So let hope overflow. That same verse in the message, I want to read it out of the message because I think it sounds really good. Oh, may the God of green hope fill you up with joy, fill you up with peace, so that your believing lives, filled with the life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit, will brim over with hope. And that's just what God wants to do here. He wants us to get so charged up and so full that we're just going to be able to just make a difference. We're going to be able to impact our world, our neighborhoods, our families, even our towns and counties, and you know, just the whole world around us will be infected and affected by the hope that God's instilling in our hearts. So some of the telltale signs, if hope is like a disease, well, what are the symptoms? What would that be like? You know, what is a symptom of hope? And I want to say that one of them is joy. When you've got the true hope of the Holy Spirit, when you've got the hope of salvation in your heart, joy just can't help but just be a byproduct. Joy is going to be evident in our lives. We're going to be able to rejoice with those that are rejoicing and even be sad with those that are sad because of that hope that's in us. And we can just share with others. The other things I think that affect the world, joy is one, obviously. Peace. When you've got the hope and the Holy Spirit, your peace is so measurable. You can carry it with you through anything in life. When you have the true hope that God brings, no matter what you're facing, whether it be a diagnosis from the doctor that's unpleasant, whether it be walking with a family member through an illness or even through the shadow of death, like we said last time, that hope that we have will carry us and help us to carry others. So when we're around people that are hopeful and joyful and trusting and peaceful, what happens to us when we're around people like that? We get more like that. So that's kind of, I think, what God wants us to do as we bring our peace into the puzzle, as we bring our peace that God's given us, that hope and love and joy, and we bring it together, then we become larger than what we could be by ourselves. And that's going to really impact others. That's going to be something that will speak to the nations, really. When we see a whole group of people that are really walking in all the fullness of what God can do and living out the promises that He's promised, there's nothing that can stop us. And I was thinking the opposite is kind of also true, that there are symptoms that are exhibited by hope, and then there's also symptoms that are exhibited by despair, right? There's sadness and despair is a good word by itself. Despair is actually an interesting word. I looked it up, and it's actually from a French word that means down from hope. Despair means down from hope. When you're coming down from hope, you're in despair. So I thought that was an interesting word. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, I think, is really what I wanted to bring out here, too. Let's do this. Let's comfort one another with this hope and encourage one another with these words. That comes, if you know 1 Thessalonians 4, that comes right in that midst of that wonderful text where Paul is giving us a reason to hope, telling us why we can't despair, why we can't get too down when our loved ones pass away, because we know what's happening. We mentioned last week, you know, hope is going to know how this all turns out. Faith is going to know how this all turns out. We know that we come back with the Lord on the clouds, and we're going to be caught up together with Him, and we're going to really enjoy all of eternity. So that thought alone can just plummet us just through any kind of storms of life. It'll carry us. Again, I think that's a byproduct that we naturally have to bring to one another. I think it's hard to get real joyful by yourself. It's hard to be real super hopeful by yourself. That's why we gather together. That's why we have church. That's why we have this family of God, so we can be that. Because we're not all going to be there at the same time, right? I doubt if I ask for a show of hands, who's like super joyful today? Who's like really just bouncing off the walls joyful? Well, you can do that. If you got anybody? Anybody really super joyful today? Great. Awesome. And then if I asked again, who's not so joyful? Who's kind of sad? Who came in needing a boost? I'll bet you the equal number of hands would go up, you know? And you can do that if you want. In fact, why don't we do that? Anybody need a boost? Anybody really just needing it? Let's do the hands one more time, if you don't mind. Can you guys raise your hands? Everybody raise your hand? Everybody look around and look for a hand. All right, let's gather around those people. Let's just pray for a minute. Let's just ask God to infuse hope and joy in those people that need it right now. Somebody needs a touch from the Lord. Okay, so I hand that back here.
Bring up the spirits, Lord. Bring them the happiness and joy and peace that only comes through Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
symptoms of hope. God wants it to be exclusive. He wants our hope to be in Him. And I thought of no better way to express it than, you know, even on our money. I thought that was ironic that in God we trust is on our money. It's like our government's even telling us, at least they were trying to tell us at one point, you know, don't put your hope in this thing, this quarter, this dollar, this $50 bill. Don't put your hope in that thing. Put your hope in God. And just let that thing be a tool. The coins and the bills and the finances God brings are just tools. Tools to provide for our needs and tools to bless others. But Psalm 39:7 says this, "So, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in You." And I think He lets us experiment sometimes with other kinds of hope. Sometimes we get a little sidetracked and we start to place our hope in jobs. Has anybody done that? You think, if I could just get this perfect job, I'll have it all together. Nothing wrong with good jobs. God wants to bless you. He wants you to be fulfilled. He wants you to have everything that your heart desires. But He doesn't want that desire to be other than Him. He wants to place that hope in Him first, as we all know. If we put Him first, it says in His Word that He will give us all the things that we really want and need. So God wants to bless you. He doesn't want to kill your joy. He wants to build up your joy. He wants to fulfill you. And He wants to be the source of that fulfillment. We've got some great pictures of people who didn't have that down. And I'm not judging anybody here, but you know, there's some people that the world would think, yeah, he had it all together. There's Oscar winners and Emmy winners and Grammy winners, and there's no hope because they got to the end of that fake trail, and it was emptiness, and they tried to fill it with other stuff, in particular drugs and things like that, and alcohol. And you know, if you've ever battled with that, you know what I'm talking about, that sometimes, you know, you can get into a hopeless spin. It's just life seems to beat you down, and then sometimes we look for comfort in other things, and those other things bring a measure of comfort for a short while, and then so we kind of spiral into it, and next thing you know, you look up and you're trapped. So the point is here, no matter where you're at in your walk, and even if you may be struggling at times with depression and other things, God wants to be your joy. He wants to be your sole source. And that's really the best word. If you can get one thing tonight, was that Psalm, Psalm 39:7. Just, my only hope is in You. If we can just kind of let that be a truth. And if it's not quite true yet, let it be an aspiration. God, I want my whole hope to be in You. Right now I'm struggling a little bit. And so help me with that. God honors that prayer. He wants us to be honest with Him, because heck, He knows what's going on inside of our hearts and minds anyway, right? So the more real, the quickly we can come to reality with Him, the quicker He can bring solution and bring answers and bring real hope, real joy, and real peace to you. So Isaiah 31:1, this is another great one. Again, to remind us not to place our trust in other things. Oh, it's still up there, right? Let me read that. What sorrow awaits those who look to Egypt for help? And again, in the Old Testament, Egypt for the nation of Israel represented security. Yeah, it represented slavery, but security. You know, that's kind of, I think, a neat parallel for the things that our world is offering us. It's offering us a measure of security. You know, you're going to have your meals covered, and there's food on the table, but you don't have real freedom. You don't have real peace. And that's kind of the word that Isaiah was speaking to Israel here. Don't trust in horses and chariots and charioteers, depending on the strength of human armies, instead of looking to the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. You know, we've done that, I think, to some extent. We've kind of placed our hope in the government. You know, again, there's nothing wrong with trusting in your government. There's nothing wrong with having a solid government. I think that's a good thing. But I think where we go a little bit astray is when we kind of place our dreams and schemes and our futures all on who gets elected president. Oh, if this guy gets elected president, that would be great. If this one gets elected president, it'll be a bummer. You know, it's not true. You know, God is not going to allow anything to happen that can fall out of His will. Rephrase. Whoever gets elected as president and Congress and whatever, God fully knows who those people are. And He's fully capable of exercising His will and authority underneath and above and around those people. Amen. So don't get too caught up and worried about the chariots and the charioteers. You know, that's fine. It's okay to pray for them. I encourage you. We should all pray fervently for our leadership, especially when it seems like they're about to make bad decisions. But I guess my point here is to make sure that our full hope is in God, and that He's not going to let anything, you know, slide. God doesn't let anything slide. He's the one that's going to be in charge. Another symptom of hope is that hope is zealous. That's an old-fashioned word. I wanted to bring it out, though. Sometimes it's fun to look at old words. And if you look at the bottom of that slide, the definition of zealous says this: full of energy, effort, and enthusiasm. Full of a lot of energy, effort, and enthusiasm, especially in your political or religious ideas. So you can have zeal for, you know, the candidate you're backing for president, or you, more importantly, have zeal for God. And I think sometimes we almost get embarrassed about our faith. And I'm not pointing fingers, because I have the same issues. Like you're at a public restaurant or something, and you've got a gathering, and it's time to eat. Do you ever like hesitate? I want to pray, but gosh, I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable and things like that. Maybe you have that problem, maybe you don't. I struggle with that sometimes. I don't really mind praying, but it's just there's a little internal. It's almost like I have to push through that because of what? I don't know, intimidation, fear, whatever. But let me be at that same restaurant, and the TV's on the wall, and my team's up, and they're scoring a touchdown.
Yeah!
You know, it's Yahoo. It's like, it's okay to yell and scream and hoot and holler and be all excited about sports and stuff, right? We should be really okay with having zeal for God. Let that just be something, if you struggle with it like I do sometimes, let that be a challenge. That as we well up in hope, as we overflow in hope, that there should be this zeal, this excitement, this joy. I think God wants us to feel more free to express that. So I think that's a symptom that He wants us to have of this disease called hope. So another symptom of this hope is that it's productive. And let me read this one. This is an excellent word. Let this one really kind of sink in. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because of God's love that has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's a mouthful, but it isn't that. That's the progression that God wants us to have in our life. He wants us to experience that. And we can experience it daily. Check it out. Okay, we access it by faith into grace. What's grace? That's a gift, right? Faith is our part. The grace is God's part. God gives us what we need. So we take that step of faith, we access His grace, and we stand in it, and then we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And more than that, because most of us have that next part down, the suffering part, the part that you wake up with a cold, you wake up with the flu. It could be worse than that. Maybe, like I mentioned, maybe you're fighting something real serious in your life, or someone really close to you is, and it's not that fun. It's not easy. And I'm going to come to that in a little bit about... Someone reminded me last week that it takes a lot of courage to have hope. We're going to get to that one in a minute. But bottom line is that hope should be producing fruit in us. This hope that we have should be welling up in us, and it should be something that we can carry in our daily life. It isn't something that we should just like walk from mountain peak to mountain peak. We carry it. We wake up in the morning, and again, it's an act, right? An act of faith to step out and say, okay, God, here I am this morning. My circumstances are what they are. Be it needing of a job, be whatever the thing is we talked about. But again, God wants to, by His grace, supply that for you and give you that hope. So we want to walk in that. So again, there's a whole process of production that God wants to do in us and build up that hope in us. Again, it's sort of like, hope is an awful lot like faith, isn't it? We talked about faith being like having a mustard seed. And how we had to let that mustard seed of faith grow. I think hope works a lot like that too. We have to step out in hope sometimes. We have to speak against the dismay and the despair that we walk in sometimes. We have to take an action against it. And I think God waters that seed of hope and allows it to grow. One thing about hope too is once you've got it, it builds up your immunity to despair. So I wanted to say that hope is immune. And here's a great verse for that, 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Blessed is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, because He has raised Jesus the Anointed from death through His great mercy. We have been reborn into a living hope, reborn for an eternal inheritance, held in reserve in heaven that will never fade or fail. That's the bottom line. We've been raised, we've been adopted into God's family, we've been received, we've been welcomed, we've been accepted. And because of all that, because of our aligning with Jesus and accepting him and his gift through his death and resurrection, we've been reborn into a living hope. So that's the separation. Again, you know, the separation is that, you know, we're born flesh, we're born human beings, right? But also, if you've received Jesus, you've been born in the Spirit. And God wants to water that Spirit. He wants to build that Spirit being up. And sometimes it's a matter of having to deny the other man, which is the one that walks in doubt and fear and trembling and dismay. It's a matter of watering and encouraging and feeding the Spirit that God has placed in you. And again, reborn for an eternal inheritance. That thing is promised, it's guaranteed, it's sealed. So God has given us this inheritance, and it's never going to fade or fail. So again, when all else, when you're really down in the bottom of that well looking up, you've got hope because God has promised you many things. He's promised you that eternal inheritance. Despair, I mentioned it already, so I'm going to skip. There's a slide here. We can go ahead and just bypass that. It was just a definition slide about despair. I kind of mentioned it already. Despair is simply driven to despair. It's complete loss of or absence of hope. Despair is the absence of hope, so we want to walk against that. Again, we feed our spirit being and walk in the hope that's provided by the Spirit. So again, we talk about this too. The eyes of the Lord, the next slide, 2 Chronicles, I love this one. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So you take what he's given you, that little bit of faith, that little seed of hope, and you walk in it. His promise is that his eyes are on you. He's watching us. He's caring for us. He's lifting us. He's setting our path ahead of us before we get there. And the whole point is that he knows exactly what you need. He knows the valleys that you need in your life to carve that shape that he's got you designed for. He knows the mountains that he wants you to climb. And he's got all that under his control. And he's watching us daily, hourly, even minute by minute. And he's providing just exactly enough to get us where we need to be. So giving our heart to the Lord ensures, again, his promise. That's our action, again. We have to do our part. You know, I mean, our part is pretty small in comparison to what Jesus provided. Our part is just simply to be open, to receive, to take a gift. Any gift, I said this before, but any gift that's given to you isn't really yours until you take it and open it and put it into use, right? So that's the same way with hope. God wants us to exercise that hope. And that's not always easy. I said this earlier, the next one. Hope takes courage. And God will also provide that. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. That's Psalm 31, verse 4. Anyway, that's just really, I think, where we all need to walk, is that courage is something that isn't always a natural thing. You know, we wake up and sometimes so much is coming against us. And it does take tremendous courage. I can speak from experience facing really severe issues that walking in hope against hope is really one of the hardest things you'll ever have to do. It's dusting yourself off after a hard fall and getting up and keeping walking when it hurts. And that's not an easy thing. So the Lord knows that. He built us. He knows how he wired us. So he's promised to be with us through that. And again, if your hope feels kind of small against the things you're facing, don't despair. We have a promise here. Don't despise these small things, these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. He takes great pleasure in every act of our faith, no matter how small. And if it feels sometimes, God, you know, my faith is about, you know, this big today, and my hope is about half of that, give him that and start with it. And even express the opposite. Express the fact, you know what, God, this looks really big. I don't know how we're going to get to the other side of this. But again, he knows exactly where you are. He's already promised that he's going to be with us in our storms. He's already in the boat, if you will, when you're in your storm of life. And he's already there waiting for you to call out to him. But even if you're starting small, just start with what you got. Take what you've got and let it grow. And we have to activate it. This is kind of one of the final things I wanted to leave us with. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. We've got to activate our faith, activate our hope. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So what's a helmet do? Protects you, right? Protects your head. It's not a sword. Swords for going out and attacking. A helmet covers you and protects you, and that's what hope is supposed to do. Because you place your hope in God, you have the promises that He's given. That is your protection against the pits and falls of the enemy and the attacks. It's one of, obviously, we have a shield as well, which is our faith. So between the helmet and the shield, we've got the defensive weapons to protect us, and then also we need the Word of God, which is the sword. I wanted to kind of wrap this talk with a thought. I came across this when I was listening to another message, and I thought it was really good. How sometimes we kind of take small things for granted, and we think that our small little piece that we can contribute isn't very big. And I was reading about a story that I hadn't heard before. Maybe you've heard this. But Martin Luther King's great speech, the I Have a Dream speech. Well, I guess he had another speech prepared that his advisors had given him. And it was all political. And, you know, the agenda of the day was quite serious. The battle for civil rights was waging. And basically, you know, they were calling everyone to take your place and to see justice done. And that is a battle cry that the Lord does call us to, is to justice. So they had this whole speech prepared, but he had another one, too, that was really on his heart. And I'm told that if you watch the video, I didn't actually look for the video, but the speaker that I was listening to said this. He said, if you watch the video, you'll see a woman, a black woman that's on the platform, reach over and whisper into his ear. That woman was Mahalia Jackson. Anybody know that name?
No.
Old gospel singer from way back in the day. Big time old gospel singer. She was in his party that was on the stage, on the platform. And what she said was this. Well, she said, Martin, talk about the dream. Go with the dream. And that, he apparently was enough to cause him to switch direction and go with the I Have a Dream speech. Other than that, he had something else. The I Have a Dream speech is probably one of the most inspirational moments ever. You know, one of the best speeches ever given. And what if she hadn't taken that little step and just said, go with the dream. You know, go with the dream. And, you know, I mean, he probably would have said something really cool and epic and all that. But I don't know. There's just, the world was possibly changed even. I think everybody's passion for rights for all was just inflamed by what God did through that moment. So anyway, I just wanted to encourage you with that. And so if God's putting something on your heart to do, no matter how little it might seem to you, it can have big implications. It can be huge. Just one little thing, one little act, one word can be all it takes to change the world. That same speaker I was listening to mentioned also about Rosa Parks, you know, the moment on the bus where she said, no, I'm not going to get in the back of the bus. I think I'm going to stay right here. And that basically was another, you know, spark plug that ignited, you know, a whole movement. So again, don't despise small things. Cayucas is just a little tiny dot on the map, but I'm convinced that God's just going to unleash a wave of hope on this whole Central Coast. And He's going to start here. I mean, He's doing it everywhere, but there's going to be a discernible wave that's going to happen for what we do with our activities and with our faith and just what God is inspiring us to do as we bring our piece, that little piece each one of us has. We bring it together, it's going to be something really awesome and special. So let's power up our own hope. Let's take that little piece of hope that you've got and fan it into flame. Let's come together as a group every week, I mean today even, and don't leave here down. Don't leave here without hope. Because everybody here, again, I think it's probably about 50-50 in the room. Half this room is full of hope, and the other half needs some. So I think God's got the lack, and He's got the supply, and we can bring it together, amen? As the worship team comes back up, let's pray. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we just trust You among all the things that are coming against us, all the things that could cause us to despair and to be down, God, for ourselves and for others, God. We just trust You for our hope. You are our hope. Made great promises, precious promises in Your Word, to be with us, to see us, to watch after us, to look after us, to carry us when we need carrying, Lord, and to even nudge us when we need nudging, God. You're there for us all the time. We thank You for what You're doing. We We thank you for Hope Living Church in Jesus' name.
Jesus. Don't mind!